Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
The very best days.
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitutes.
In my years of playing.
Oh, Johnson is the tailback. Movement on the left side, and that's going to cost him five.
I'll bet you Ben says...
False start. Offense. 5 yard penalty. Third down.
The shift got him to jump, but I'm gonna guess Ben saying they screamed out something and simulated a snap count inside there, and that's why they jumped. Now, I don't know if they did or they didn't, but back in the day, that's the thing that the umpire would have been listening for.
In my years of playing, you know, you can't, a defensive guy can't bark stuff or move in the middle of a cadence.
In the middle, right.
I agree that the ref said, well, he didn't go in the neutral zone. I agree with him. I wasn't arguing that part. I was arguing the fact that he shifted in the middle of a cadence. And I thought that there was a rule against that. Maybe there's not. Maybe it's an unwritten rule. I don't really know. So that's what I was more upset about, is that they did. I mean, they do that. We saw it on film that the Patriots do that. They jump on or shift and slide and do stuff on the goal line, knowing that it's an itchy trigger finger type down.
It was an ESPN report that your radio went out, your communication.
That's always the case.
Here?
Yes.
Well, you're saying that every time you play here, you have radio.
I said what I said.
Mike, what exactly happened? You just didn't have any communication?
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast for the majority of the first half on our headsets.
The coach to coach or the coach to quarterback?
Coach to coach.
Coach to coach.
Well, nothing like the old backdoor cover to start your week. And more complaints about the Patriots, of course. Hey, there's a lot to go. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the mother bleeping universe, in the history of the universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. AJ Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Li Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. It's a football Friday. We got everything going on this weekend. I hope you guys are dodging the latest of the storms or
rainstorm. Travis.
A lot of people are wanting to name it today. Somebody has Tina on Twitter, but I don't know if this is the remnants of Stan. Is this a new thunderstorm system or is this the remnants
of
Stan?
It's tough. It rained a lot last night. So
yeah, it never really stopped. So I think we're still on Stan.
Yeah.
But anyway. Be careful out there, guys. It's a Friday. Get home safe.
If not, the next one's Taysom.
Taysom. That's a great one. Yeah. We only know of one Taysom, so I think that's one that needs to be... we need to get that name out there. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, I'm such a good mood today. It's Friday.
Dude, you know what I saw last night? National Football League.
Yes.
I saw it with my eyes.
And tell you what, and of course there has to be a controversy with the headsets. It's funny, I heard Bill O'Brien's thing today, and he said every week there's something with headsets somewhere.
Yeah.
And the one thing that, you know, you can complain about it, but the truth is, if your headsets aren't working, you tell the ref, they shut off the other team's headsets.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
But it's funny that as soon as they shut it off, or as soon as they go to tell the Patriots they're shutting it off, it magically starts working again.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, they start hearing the Patriots broadcast. Part of me thinks it's too much to be a coincidence, all this crap that goes on around the Patriots. But at the same time, I feel like if I were the Patriots and there was such a watchful eye on me, it's the last thing I would try to do is try to pull some crap like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Although,
but then maybe they're just like the ultimate middle finger, like,
yeah,
you're never going to catch us. We're smarter than you.
The ultimate honey badgers.
They may be that.
We don't give a bleep.
I mean, that's entirely possible. So if that is true, kudos to New England, because they, when the watchful eye couldn't be more focused on them, they're the only game going. I mean, they just got off this Deflategate. Now all this stuff about stealing plays, everybody's like, oh, the Patriots are cheaters. And they're like, no, we don't cheat. We don't cheat. We don't cheat. And the very first game of the year, you're the only game on national TV, and the headsets stop working for the other team. I mean, you've got it. Your balls just have to be so inflated to do something like that.
You know what it is? It's New Jack City. When they roll up and shoot that guy in the middle in broad daylight,
yeah,
and say, that's how you kill somebody.
It's gangster.
That's what they're doing. And it's so funny. I just... And it's great that it happened then, because now it's a huge topic and it's a huge controversy. And it happens every week in stadiums all over the place with these. And I don't understand why. By now, don't we have enough technology that we shouldn't have radio feeds bleeding over?
I would think. But
although,
I mean,
you know,
I guess
how
it happens everywhere.
Yeah, you know how Wi-Fis are in the stadium.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. But, and, you know, it's a nuisance because they all have backup plans, they all have hand signals, they all have. You know, you can send plays in with players like they did the old-fashioned way. And it's nice to be able to talk to guys. So that's, yeah, but it's not a huge disadvantage. What I took away from last night's game was, as long as Gronk is healthy, the Patriots offense is going to be terrific all year long. And we saw that last year when he was out. They were,
well, as long as Brady's healthy, too.
Yeah, Brady, too. But, I mean, the main thing is, as long as they've got Gronk, those other guys are just pieces. Even Edelman. I mean,
yeah,
they're just pieces.
He caught 11 balls, but I mean, relative to Gronk, he's just a piece.
Honestly, if you put Amendola in that role before he breaks down, because he always does, he could have caught 11 balls.
The reality is there's no one in the NFL really who can match up with Gronk. I mean, he's just difficult to handle. I shouldn't say no one in the NFL, but the one guy that comes to mind for me is Cam Chancellor, and he's not playing football right now.
Yeah.
There's not very many guys in the NFL who can match up.
No. Well, and especially when you don't cover him on one play, and then you've got him in single coverage with a linebacker.
A linebacker? Come on, man.
And there was, it was interesting.
Maybe J.J. Watt could cover him. Maybe.
I'd like to see that. That'd be kind of fun. J.J. Those guys are almost the same guy. They play different positions. But I'd like to see Gronk cover J.J., as a matter of fact. Yeah. But there were a couple things to take away from that game. I still feel pretty good about the Steelers, despite the fact that they lost. Josh Gobe went full on Jacksonville. That's 6 points you can't leave out there. I mean, I could see missing one, but two of those. Although, and
then they had to go for it on a fourth down because of that.
That puts you in a bad situation. And I think just some little things like Darius Hayward Bay doing what he does by having his foot out of bounds on and costing you a touchdown there. But that offense, even without – I thought D'Angelo Williams looked terrific. Even without Le'Veon Bell, I think the offense is really good. And I was listening to Granato and Sean a little bit today, and Granato was saying, oh, they obviously miss Dick LeBeau. And I don't think that's it at all, because if you watch the Steelers last year, they did a lot of that crap when Dick LeBeau was there. I think part of it's just first game, first time with a new coordinator. I do think that defense is going to get better. And I think there's some guys on there, Shazier and Jones and people like that, who are going to – they're going to have good seasons. I think the Steelers are going to be pretty good, and so are the Patriots. And I think you saw two really good teams last night. And maybe it's just because it's the first game and I'm excited, but...
But you liked what you saw.
I like what I saw out of both teams. I think the things that the Steelers did wrong on defense are correctable. Although I have to say, I don't understand...
Well, and they're only going to see Gronk once.
Right, like, right. Although they...
I'll venture a guess and say that they're not going to give up three touchdowns to a tight end for the rest of the season.
Probably not.
All four touchdowns went to tight ends.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say that in no universe ever should you not cover Gronk, though.
No, you have to.
There has to. And it reminded me.
Even if you leave the rest of the team open.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll drop it.
Yeah.
Gronk's probably not going to drop it.
No, and then he's going to run over you if he gets the ball.
Yeah.
And that was what was so impressive, was how fast Brady recognized that and how quickly he got him to snap the ball so he could throw it. How often do you see that? You see other quarterbacks who aren't, you know, when you talk about the great quarterbacks, they see that. But that's the difference between a guy like Brady and a guy like Brian Hoyer. It's one of the many differences.
Yeah.
Do you think Brian Hoyer is going to recognize that and get them to snap the ball and make that play? Do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to do that?
No.
And I thought, you know, Lamont says the Patriots D is suspect. I think there's some question marks there.
I think they miss Vince Wilfork.
They do.
And especially
now
Revis.
I mean, especially now that Easley's out. But
yeah, they lost a lot of guys on that defense, so for sure.
They did, and although
but remember, Pittsburgh got a pretty good offense. We knew that coming in, too.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has a terrific offense, and I think the Patriots, in historically, defensively, have always been a work in progress, and they get better as the season goes on. But you know what we didn't see a lot of? Bad turnovers. Ben had the one pass, which I don't know if that was Hayward Bay was supposed to stop on that route or if the ball was just wet at that point. You know, that wasn't a good interception, but I'm not really sure what the hell was going on with that play. It didn't look like it was run the way it was supposed to be run. And then you had the one fumble on the goal line that Gronk recovered. But otherwise, you didn't see guys making stupid passes into coverage or things like that. It was just really solid offensive football. And you're going to make a defense look bad if you're playing that well. And,
yeah.
And I'm telling you, Roethlisberger is that guy is through the roof good, too.
Dude, the throw and the catch, really, is both of them. But the throw looked like it was going to get picked off, and Marcus Wheaton took it and tapped both feet down.
That was amazing.
That's a perfect throw.
And you want to talk about a perfect deep ball, the one he threw to Hayward Bay early on where he just dropped that thing in there perfectly, and you're just like, wow. That was just great to watch. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I especially enjoyed the backdoor cover because, as you know, I had Patriots minus one, and then when it went to 7.5, I hit the Steelers thinking, okay, worst thing that happens, I break even. Get the backdoor cover.
Someone said last night, and the public gets screwed again.
Not this public.
I was like, dude, if you on 7, or he said, and he mentioned at 7.5, minus 7.5, I was like, if you're the public and you were playing minus 7.5, you deserve to lose. Minus seven. Okay, you want to play minus seven? I wouldn't have laughed at you.
No.
But once that number got to 7.5, that's Steelers easy. And I know it's a backdoor cover. I get it. But there were so many, you know, the field goals. There's a lot of things that could have happened that would have made that a closer game.
There were several things that just didn't, breaks that didn't go the Steelers' way. And that's why the NFL's hard to bet. But we have a whole, you know, it's one of the things in our book that we talk about is when to be on the right side of the number. When it goes to 7.5 in a game like that, to me, no brainer to take Pittsburgh. If it had been 6.5, I'd go the other way.
This is something.
Sometimes the number means more than the teams.
That's what I tell people all the time. And if you want to win betting the NFL, write this down in your notebook right now if you're not driving. But if you see a number at 6 and or even at 6.5, and you want to buy it down to 6, don't do that.
No.
If you're going to buy a number one way, go to 7. Even if it's not the team that you want, when you're betting the NFL or in college football to an extent, you're not betting teams. You have to bet numbers. You have to learn to bet numbers. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't be betting on football.
Yeah. And we've got chapters on that, too, that'll be out very soon.
You'll get that one day.
Yeah. Anyway.
You'll hear my voice tell you that. it won't be those exact words, but it'll be something along those words.
Well, sometimes we can tell people and it doesn't matter. The reason that I wanted to do this is I'm big on the whole teach a man to fish thing. Don't just give him a fish.
All right.
Because we could sit here and give you picks to wear purple, but truth is, in anything in life, it's more fun to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And get all the angles that way. Anyway, is it FanDuel here, John? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Cool. Because
if you had Gronk and FanDuel, bro.
Oh, well, even Gronk and Brady, you're looking pretty good. Well, I do have some bad news, though.
What's the bad news?
You know, we're doing our listener league?
Yeah.
Well, they capped it at 250 people.
It's full.
It's full. Completely full.
So nobody else can play.
What I am going to try to do is see if I can't email them and if they can't take the cap off of it. So check back a little later at fanduel.com/Faur, F-A-O-U-R, and see if you can get in if you waited till the last minute. But I can't believe we got 250 people in that thing.
Can, Fred. Our listeners are maniacs.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's going
to
be awesome.
And they almost all have $5 to spend.
Well, whichever one wins is going to get a nice chunk, a lot bigger than that. And we're going to pay off a lot of you. So a bunch of you guys are going to get paid, and whoever wins, you're going to get a shout out on the show. How about that? Anyway, if you're not on FanDuel, it's great, man. The leader in one-week fantasy football. More winners and more payouts than any other site. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. It's easy to build a team. You just go in, you pick your players, you stay under the salary cap, sit back and watch on Sunday. Now, in our league, we didn't have the Thursday night game, so you don't have to worry about Gronk beating you over the head. But if you didn't get in ours, entry fees start at just $1, and anyone can play. What you do, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code FOWER, and sign up now. If you're a new user, every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. It gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. This offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FOUR today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R and get in there, get some of that FanDuel money. I know you guys are good at this, so take down some of these folks. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com. Sign up today.
ESPN.
97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great one. Can't wait for the weekend. Couple things. Salvatore says, how bad was that trick play call on the first drive for Pittsburgh? I don't know that the call was necessarily that awful. The result certainly was. That's one where Antonio Brown's got to throw the ball away. Yeah. And when you've got a guy who's not used to making those decisions, then he's less likely to do it. But that's one you have to tell him, hey, if it's not there, throw it away. You can't take a sack. And a guy like that shouldn't take a sack. But that obviously got him in a hole, and then the holding call. And then Scobie misses.
A lot went wrong.
Yeah, and that, but I don't know that it was necessarily, it was a bad result, but I don't know that it was a bad play call. I just think it was poorly executed. And give the Patriots credit for covering the hell out of that.
Yep.
Augie says, last day of work with this company. Anything you recommend I do before leaving? Depends on if you like the guys, or if you ever are going to need another job there at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me think on that one. We'll come up with something for you. Let's grab a couple calls. BJ, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Sports.
All right, man. I just want to talk about Headset Gate, a.k.a. Radio Gate, man. And this is my whole take on the whole thing, man. I just really think that, you know, the Patriots really got something going, man. It's just like, you know, I used the analogy earlier. You know, if your hand get caught in the cookie jar too many times, you know, you got cookies that come up missing, your mom going to know it's you because you're the one who your hand keeps being caught in the cookie jar. It seems like every couple of years is something. And for this to happen right after we just had the Deflategate situation.
All right.
Crying kid, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I do think it's funny that Mike Tomlin was like, every time. Every time.
Yeah.
And he's not the first guy who's complained about radio problems there. Maybe they have radio problems there. I'd bring a backup plan if I was going to play there. Maybe. Well, I don't know what you do.
And I think that's every team has a backup plan. That's why it's not that big of a deal. But theoretically, you're supposed to turn the other guys off, too, if it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I think they did that. So, yeah, that's one that. Is that the team thing or is that an NFL thing? Who's responsible for those?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I wish I had an answer to it. Let's try Alan. What's up, Alan?
Sports to you guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just wanted to call real quick and thank you guys for the Rock and Mike the last couple of years because without that, I wouldn't be going where I am now, and I'm on my way to call my first high school football game with Texas Sports Radio Network, and you guys are a big reason why I got this gig, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Right on, man.
Ah, all right. That's Alan Best. Congratulations, man. Oh.
Enjoy the game.
Yep. Good for you, Alan.
I will. Thank you very much, and I'll continue listening. It's my favorite still on the way home, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Trust me, there will come a time if you continue your journey into sports radio that you will pray for the day to come that you don't have to work high school football as part of it. I did that myself. What I did was I hated doing high school football from the beginning. And it was like when I first started, it was like $100 a game. And I was like, God, I'm giving up my Friday nights for $100. And it was awful. And then as I started
that's not even enough for your drink tab most nights. Jeez.
As I started to kind of make my way into the business a little bit, I started to charge a little bit more and a little bit more. The last year I did high school football, I charged them $450 a game.
It's not bad.
And then finally they were just like, okay, we don't want you to do high school football anymore.
It's a good way to get over it.
Yeah, like and that's a good way to test where you are is like just keep asking for more money. And that's what I told myself. I said, I'm just going to ask for more money until they don't want me to do it anymore. And I think they knew the next conceivable step for me was making $500 a game. And I don't think they were comfortable with that.
I think I've told you my play-by-play career lasted 2 innings of a baseball game.
Oh, well.
Before I was pulled out of the booth.
Yeah. So. That bad?
Well, I was just taking a different approach to it because the team was awful. And I guess my last year of high school, and I was trying to decide whether I wanted to go into broadcasting or whether I wanted to be a newspaper guy. And I wound up going newspapers and, you know, eventually wound up doing this. But Lamarck's baseball team was playing somebody, and I was just making comments about each guy, you know, things I knew about the players that I thought was funny. And where I got in trouble was, and I'll change the name to protect the innocent, but I said, and here's Steve Johnson, who loved being a sophomore so much, he's going to do it again next year. And the principal of the school came up and pulled me out of the booth, and not only that, kicked me out of school for 2 days. I was like,
shame.
Well, he wasn't going to pass.
Yeah.
And I was just speaking the truth. And the best part about it was he had to step out of the batter's box because he was laughing so hard. But that was the end of my play-by-play career. So, yeah, just a bit outside, I guess. Let's try Will real quick. What's up, Will?
Yeah, sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I want to talk about the genius that the NFL is making the Patriots look like. Can you imagine? They got all these different accusations coming out, Spygate, Deflategate, bugging locker rooms, trick plays. You know, that just goes to the psyche of making other teams paranoid and having their coaches think of extra things to do on game day instead of game planning. You're worried about play sheets and whether locker rooms are bugged and headsets, and that just plays into the psyche that when you come and play the New England Patriots, there are other things you got to worry about besides football, and that just makes them look like a genius.
Well, once you get in somebody's head, it does have an impact, and I think they're in everybody's head.
No doubt.
It's funny. I'm sure you saw the story, and I just didn't want to get into it anymore because I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, pounding on ESPN.
Right.
But did you see the guy from ESPN Boston? They edited out some of the stuff he wrote in response to the outside the lines.
No.
And one of the things he brought up is that he's been in that locker room many times. He's been in those locker rooms many times. Nobody leaves playbooks lying around.
Right.
And, you know, you can't just walk in.
Well, okay. Maybe there. I've seen playbooks laying around in the Texans locker room.
I can't remember if I have or not. It's not something I look for, but
I've seen them there for sure.
But play, a lot of the times, I guess now, not playbooks, but play sheets where they're saying exactly.
Oh no, I've never seen that. It's always every time I've seen it, it's in like a binder, and it's not like I'm going through the binders. I just see a binder sitting there.
Yeah,
it could be anything. But I feel like nowadays most of that stuff would be sent like electronically.
Well, yeah, they use
iPads or whatever.
They use iPads and things like that. But there were a couple things that they edited out. And after it had already been published, and you talk about doing things to make yourself look bad. To me, it's very similar to what the Patriots just did. Yeah, you know, if they really did do something like that, it's kind of like, you know, ESPN. There's a lot of questions about your report. Why are you editing this out of the Boston guys thing?
Good question.
It's a bad look, man.
All right, guys, if you're a little banged up, you've injured yourselves, maybe you need to know about my friends over at Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. They're part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been long recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed a system to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal, because we all know that's the worst part of going into that doctor's office, sitting around and waiting for them to call your name. They've got 3 easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugar Land, Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front.
And they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties. They do orthopedic, musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or you can visit them online at rbjc.com. You'll learn more about the doctors there. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out. 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. To run away. But you can't judge a book.
Looking at the cover, you can't love someone. This is the Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5. Texas Rice College Football, 7 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. Chong pretty much has every song that's on my workout list so far today. Good job, buddy. All right. Well, a lot going on in Austin. And
not a lot of good.
And I know we have a good buddy of yours here to discuss it.
Yeah, former co-worker of mine, one of my co-hosts back in the day in Austin, and a great columnist for the Austin American Statesman, Cedric Golden, joins us. Cedric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. What's up, guys?
Doing well. You can follow Cedric at Ced Golden. Always got good stuff on Longhorn football. Your latest column says something that I said last week, and I don't know if it's as much of a knock on Tyron Swoops as it is that I think that maybe he's not the guy behind that offensive line. But you say that they should start Hurd. I mean, I tend to agree. What do you think the upside is compared to the downside of going with the younger guy?
I'm going to tell you, AJ, I think the upside is when you're running for your life, when you'd rather have a 4-4 guy instead of a 4-7 guy in the backfield with Jonathan Gray. Tyron Swoops, we've seen what he can do, and he's not fleet of foot. He's not a game breaker. At least give the offense a chance to get some kind of momentum going with the more elusive quarterback. I know he's not very developed in the passing game, but neither was Vince Young in 2003, and they eventually gave it to him. So I'm thinking that they just need some new energy back there, man, because it's not working. Still looking for a multiple touchdown game in the last four games. That's just crazy for Texas.
What do you think did you expect to see, and obviously nobody really expected to see this, the change that Charlie Strong made? Was there anything going into this season that made you think that Watson was on kind of thin ice?
No, I didn't think that, but I did when they did say that in the spring that it was going to be Tyron Swoops. After a while, they said he won the position. The first thing out of my mind was he's got to be at least twice as good as he was the year before. And what I saw is about the same thing. Now, the offensive line was pretty crappy against Notre Dame. But as far as Tyron was concerned, he still missed some easy throws, and he just didn't make the first guy miss when he busted through the line to, you know, blitzes or what have you. So, to me, it's just the same guy. Watson, I think Charlie Strong was very loyal to Sean Watson. They go back a ways. But after a while, man, if you're scoring 20 points in three games, I mean, how much of that do you need to see before you make a change?
They have been pretty rough on the offensive side, and I think one of the biggest problems is they haven't used Jonathan Gray as much as they should. Do you think that's going to be one of the bigger changes we see?
Oh, hell yeah. Jonathan Gray's first carry was 1 minute left in the first quarter. Inexcusable. I mean, he's your senior leader. He's your running back. He was a workhorse in high school. Finally, he gets the reins of this offense because Malcolm Brown's no longer there. Doesn't have to share carries. Drops 12 to 13 pounds, feeling light on his feet. And you relegate him to just being some kind of pass blocker / decoy. So that, to me, that was just a really crappy game plan. And just a coaching staff that's not on the same page. If Charlie Strong's talking about being a rushing attack and a ball control attack, and you don't give the ball to your first back until there's a minute left in the first quarter, I mean, where's the accountability in that? And I'm hoping that those kind of things were what led him to make this decision to get Watson off play calling duties.
Now, I said this after the game, and I wouldn't have thought this coming into the season, but this has got to be and I think it's the first of the Charlie Strong era, the first must-win game for Charlie Strong, right?
Oh, yeah. And when is the last time you've seen, you've heard someone go, Texas must beat Rice? I mean, God, that just sounds so foreign. I mean, not to disrespect a lot of the good people in Houston, because I got relatives down there, but Texas must beat Rice. That is, that's just unheard of. And if they lose this game, and let me tell you, Dreyfus Jackson is an elusive quarterback who can throw it around a little bit. And this secondary is definitely one of the worst I've seen in a while. So it's not a given. The 16-point spread, and I know AJ and Fred, I know you guys know a little bit about point spreads. I just don't know that I would bet Texas minus 16. I just think that's just crazy. I mean, when's the last time they scored 16 points in a football game?
what's the leash like for Charlie? I mean, if he, let's say he does lose to Rice, and if he does that, I mean, that's probably the second easiest game on his schedule this year. So if he's not beating Rice, I mean, can you see Texas maybe moving on from him year two or after year two?
They can't. They gave him $25 million. They're stuck with Charlie if he loses to Rice. I mean, Steve Patterson came in here to try to increase the profit margins. The last thing he needs to do is fire a football coach after two seasons and then bring in some other guy that you're going to pay $5 million a year and be on the hook for $15 million, Charlie Strong, in addition to that? No, Charlie Strong's going to – they're going to have to sink or swim with Charlie, whatever happens. I expect them to win tomorrow and get it back on track and have a good chance to beat Cal the following week. But, yeah, Charlie's not going anywhere this season. They're not going to move on from him. At the most, they'll give him three seasons, and if it's not working after that, they'll just cut him a $10 million check and say good luck in the future.
Is there any heat on Steve Patterson? You mentioned him. Is he one of the guys that might wind up losing his head over this down the road?
That's a really good question, because I know that I believe there's a disconnect between Patterson and the new president, Gregory Fanavis. Not exactly on the same page on several issues. And I wrote when he hired Shaka Smart that Steve Patterson's tenure will be directly related to if Charlie Strong and Shaka Smart win. If those guys win, then it doesn't matter that people don't like Steve Patterson. But, man, if they lose, then his tenure might be a short one, because he's put all his eggs in that basket. Me, personally, I thought they were both very good hires. But if those guys don't win, then it's going to fall on Steve Patterson, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Regents tried to get him up out of there.
You think that he gambled on the right guys, Patterson did, with Strong and Smart? I mean, obviously, Shaka hasn't coached a game yet, but recruiting doesn't seem to be going all that well. You think those were the right two guys to base his job on?
Actually, I do, because I just think that Charlie, I mean, there were people that wanted Nick Saban, but Nick Saban was never leaving. But I think Charlie was the right choice. What he's going to have to do, man, is he's going to have to develop better relationships with these high school coaches, particularly the high school coaches in your area, because that's where 90% of his purebred athletes come from, is the Houston area. So he's going to have to become a more popular person in those locker rooms, in those coaches' offices, because the Florida Five thing blew up in his face. Five guys out of Florida, and then only one ends up on campus. So that was kind of an embarrassment. So you don't really need to recruit that much outside of Texas to be successful. But what Charlie's going to have to do is take a page out of Mac Brown's book and become more of a fixture with those coaches and develop better relationships.
Sid, I know it's a sad day for you. Your girl Serena gave it up.
That hurt, dude. That hurt. I mean, that's going to be brutal. The advertisers are broken because there's no money to be made in the women's final. And,
dude, I bet those tickets, if you were a ticket broker.
I got a friend up there that bought tickets to the final, and I put it on Twitter that what they're going to have to do is do what the Duke boys did in the Trading Places movie at the end, where telling that guy, get in there, you idiot, and sell, because those tickets are crap now. Could you imagine two Italians in the U.S. Open Finals, no Serena? Man, that's not good for business, bro.
You think that affects when the conversation's had about greatest of all time in her sport? I think Steffi Graf, probably in my mind, is the gold standard, and she's done that
you know, the Grand Slam. Do you think that maybe missing out on this one tournament could haunt her in that conversation?
Well, I kind of do, but I really thought that Monica Seles was better than Steffi. But when she got stabbed,
yeah,
that's when Steffi won most of her Grand Slam. So I think Serena's still the best ever, definitely the best competitor ever, the best serve ever. I put her and Steffi 1A and 1B. You can interchange them. But she will never live this down. This will haunt her for the rest of her days.
People talk to me all the time, and I get in debates with people because ever since Ronda Rousey won that award at the ESPYs about who's the more dominant female athlete, and I said today, Ronda Rousey will never get armbarred by some do-nothing Italian 43rd ranked in the world fighter. That's never going to happen. And they talk about the level of competition, and do you think that Serena now has the level of competition that, you know, Steffi Graf or Seles or someone like that had in those days?
I don't think she does, because if you think about it, Steffi Graf had Monica Seles, kind of an over-the-hill. Martina Navratilova was still hanging around, Anna Manlikova. So there was a lot more competition. The problem is Serena has run roughshod over very good players. The ones that really gave her the most trouble retired early. Kim Clijsters, Justine Henin, those are the two that really gave her the most trouble. Sharapova hasn't beaten her in 10 years. So the fact that she doesn't have anyone to push her like someone like Steffi had, may have made it easier for her to get snuck up on by this Italian chick today.
Not to mention, I mean, Serena was about to walk to a Grand Slam without seeing a single top 10 player in the whole tournament.
And she was still dropping sets.
Yeah.
So that lets you know that she wasn't on top of her game. Still mentally probably the best ever, because she still was able to win on horrible days. Back in the day, if you had a bad day against Steffi Graf or somebody like that, you were going to get blown off the court. She was able to pull it together, but I think she just ran out of golden eggs, and it was time for her to pay the piper, because I watched the last two sets, and that lady made some great shots on her. So kudos to her against the crowd that you know wasn't for her.
Said, it's always good to talk to you, my man. I hope everything's going well. Thanks for taking some time with us, and enjoy that Rice football game on Saturday, my man.
I'd much rather be at the Texans. I'll holler at you later, bro.
All right, bro. That's Cedric Goldman from the Austin American Statesman. You can follow him at Ced Golden on Twitter. Good follow for Longhorn stuff,
and
even when it's pretty sad.
Yeah, he always has good stuff, and knows his tennis, too.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder now if anybody's going to still say it was racism that Ronda didn't that Serena didn't win the ESPY.
It has to be racist. I made a joke today on Twitter, and I didn't even think about it being racist in any way until someone pointed it out to me on Twitter. I said something about when the ESPN report came out that RG3 was cleared to play, and I said his teammates will strategically place banana peels around his locker. Oof. I was just thinking about, like, slip on a banana peel.
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind until someone was like, dude, that could be considered racist. I'm like, what? And then I guess I could
see why, but I also see where the intent was. That's the thing. I know what you were getting at.
Thanks. But
anyway, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And if you've been thinking about losing weight, and maybe you've been trying, maybe you've tried to diet, maybe you tried to get out and exercise, and I'll tell you what was happening to me. I was just too big, and I'd get out and try to exercise, and I'd hurt myself, and then I'd be on the couch for 2 weeks trying to get well. And finally, I went to Quick Weight Loss Center, and they put me on a program, and in just a few months, I lost 50 pounds. And since then, I have been able to work out again. I've been healthy. I've been happy. And none of the health problems that I had at the time, I haven't had anything since then. And it's amazing how just getting some weight off can help you be a better person, a happier person, a healthier person. And that's what they did for me. And they can do the same thing for you. If you're looking in the mirror and saying, hey, man, I don't like the way I look, it's easy to fix. Go see Quick Weight Loss Center. 20, 40, 100 pounds or more. Results are guaranteed. No exercise required and no prepackaged meals. Right now, great new special. You can lose up to 30 pounds plus get a 30-day program for just $30. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, drop by one of their 15 great Houston locations or visit quickweightlosscenter.com. Or better yet, give them a call, 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them the bleep in,
locked.
Folks. Happy Friday. The Houston Dynamo continue their 10th season Saturday, September 12th at BBVA Compass Stadium against Real Salt Lake. The Dynamo,
Real.
The Real?
Real.
Real? Real Salt Lake, man.
Really,
it's
man.
Real Salt Lake. Dynamo are still in the playoff race, and every game counts. Saturday is Hispanic Heritage Night, presented by Bud Light. Tickets are still available at HoustonDynamo.com. Go Orange. And, man, I'm in a good mood today. I don't know how we're going to spoil this.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll get a call or something that'll ruin it.
Well, we're not going to get a call until 5:15. So if you want to get in, you might as well wait till then, because we're going to do our college picks here, and then we're going to go through every game in the NFL at 5 o'clock. And then we have RJ at 5:30, and then we have Gym of the Day at 5:45. So basically, 5:15, that's when you should call if you want to get in. So nobody's going to spoil anything until then unless you hate my picks. So let's talk about this, because what we're going to do is just we're going to do three college games and three pro games that we're going to keep score with. That doesn't mean I'm playing three games this week. I might play six games. I might play one game.
Yeah.
But we're picking games that we...
John, did you pick games?
Was I supposed to?
Yes.
Yeah, we said that yesterday.
All right, you better get to work over there.
Ruining this segment.
While we're doing ours.
I knew it.
So we'll start off with my first one, which is one I just added a couple of minutes ago after running my numbers one more time. Buffalo plus 18 against Penn State. Penn State, of course, and two of my games I'm a little worried about, because Penn State and Texas, to me, are kind of similar. I could see both those teams bouncing back with big efforts. But what if they really are both that bad? If so, 18 points.
18.5.
Yeah, 18. That's a gift. So I will take Buffalo plus 18 as my first game of the week.
My first game is an over-under. It's Aggie and Ball State.
Okay.
And I'm going to go under 64. That's okay. A big number. If Aggie's defense is really as improved as everyone thinks it is, I don't think Ball State's going to do much scoring, and I don't think Aggie's quite where they're going to put up 64 on their own.
Yeah, you're counting on A&M to put 50 up, I think.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
So, okay, I like that play. My second one, and the number's down to 14, so I still like it outside of anything outside of 14, if you can get it at 14.5. But I actually bet this one, Al plus 16.5 against Texas, for the same reason I bet the Penn State game. I think Texas wins, but it's like Cedric said, I don't know if they can score 16 points. And Rice is pretty good offensively. So give me Al plus 16.5 versus Bebo as my second game.
My second game is tough for me, because I took a team that last week or earlier this week I was talking about being one of the five or six worst teams in major conference football. But they're playing a team that isn't much better than that. Hmm. Wake Forest is getting 4.5 points against Syracuse. And let me tell you can flip a coin on which one of those teams are junkier. They are both really bad. So I'm going to take 4.5 points, and I'll be on the Deeks.
Wow. This has got to be a first for you. I like it. All right. The other one I'm going to do is I'm going to take BYU to cover against Boise. Plus 3 is what I got it at. I think it's down to 1.5 a lot of places, 2.5 some places. And I know there's questions about the quarterback, but this kid who came in last week, he's no slouch. He was the number 3 rated prospect when he came out of high school. He was in that class with Jameis Winston. He was up there considered on a level with those guys. Went on a 2-year mission. Hadn't played in 2 months when he came in, basically. He'd only been practicing for a couple of weeks. He's got a full week of practice. That BYU team's full of full-grown men. I'll take BYU to win, but I'll certainly take him to cover the 3, and that's my third game.
My third college game, and again, this is one of those where you play numbers, not teams.
Right, right.
Plus 28.5, which is always a good thing.
Right.
That's way better than playing minus 28.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and winning 56-28.
Now comes the part that I've got to swallow before I say it out loud. I'll take South Florida plus 28.5 against Florida State.
I don't mind that at all.
I'm still not sold that Florida State's as good as they've been the last couple of years, and I don't think South Florida's total trash.
No, they're not. That's actually a pretty decent defensive team. Can't score, but
and that's one of those games where South Florida's going to circle that game as like that's their Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and it for Florida State, it's a ho-hum, we're playing an in-state, directional college. So I'll take South Florida and take a little over 4 touchdowns.
The other two games I looked at, East Carolina plus 21 against Florida. I'm going to watch that tomorrow. If it gets to 21.5, I'll take it.
And I'm scared to bet against Florida right now.
Yeah, although I think
it might be better than I think.
But I think East Carolina is better than people realize, too. And then I also am looking at UTSA plus 17.5 at home against Kansas State. It's just a couple of bonus plays. And one,
I was looking seriously at Tennessee.
Yeah, that game scares me because I think Tennessee's a slight home dog, but OU, I think, has a chance to be really good. Both teams are. So my bonus, one CFL play I'm probably making tonight, it's going to look ridiculous because basically this is a week where they have rematches.
Yeah.
And Hamilton just housed Toronto last week. Well, now they're in Toronto, and Toronto's getting 3.5 at home. And I know you look at it and say, oh, well, Hamilton just beat them 48-14. And this is one of the things we talk about in the audiobook. Don't be last game oriented.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened when Hamilton won that game, they won the season series. So if they wind up tied, they win the division. Not much motivation for them at this point. They're fantastic at home. They're good on the road, but they're unbeatable at home. And Toronto just had some things go wrong in that game. I'm taking Toronto plus 3.5 tonight. So just for a little CFL action.
We'll have our NFL picks a little bit later in the program.
Well, actually, next segment, we're going to go through every game. So we'll talk about every game. We're not picking every game. We'll kind of tell you where
we're going. You're going to give me your top three, though?
I will give you my top three.
All right. Jung, are you writing all this down?
Your picks, too?
Me and Fred, yeah.
No.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do.
Don't
the
you
break,
guys have them written down?
Jung's dropping the ball
right,
on this whole
you
thing.
Know,
we need you to keep a running tally.
Don't you guys have these written down?
Yes, but here's what we're going to do. On the break, I will write down our picks so we have them. But, Jung, you have about, I want to say, 1 hour to come up with 3 picks on both, all right? We'll do your picks at 6 o'clock. But next week, dude, you got to be with it. You can't be doing this to us.
I got other stuff to do, though.
You were ignoring us yesterday. You weren't.
What do you mean?
You weren't paying attention to us. We told you. We need you to have some games picked tomorrow.
Oh, it must have been one of the times when people walked in and out.
Our show should be your focus, Jung. Our show should be your focus. If you can't, listen, Kim Davis, if you can't do the job, find someone who can. All right?
And, you know, we're all busy.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a mad Xbox hockey game going today. You think I think that stopped me from getting my picks done?
No. He got them done.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about my good friends at Tupelo's. Chip and the team up there, they're fantastic. Now the football season's here. If you're up north, this is your place to watch the games. Man, this is going to be hopping all weekend long, so you want to be out there. And Monday Night Football, guess who's going to be there Monday night? Team Blitz. So come on out and see us. But you can go out there all weekend. And the great thing about Tupelo's, man, the food's amazing. It's not your average sports bar menu. There's not a bad thing on the menu. You can watch the Astros out there. The TVs they have set up, there's not a bad place to watch. Basically, you can see every TV no matter where you're sitting. It's also a great place for the whole family. And you get families with kids. You won't be out of place with the kids, so bring them with you. And they're not going to bother you if you're coming with any, because it all works there at Tupelo's, man. It's a great atmosphere. And it's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. It's like a neighborhood bar, only it's bigger than that because it just draws people from everywhere. So go check it out. And by the way, Tupelo's first annual charity golf event is coming up. ESPN 97.5 is proud to sponsor it. It's going to be at the Woodlands Country Club Palmer Course. You're going to be supporting a great, great cause. It's October 12th, and all proceeds benefit Easter Seals of Greater Houston. So please get to the website right now, just 975golf.com, and that will take you right to their website. Or you can just go to TupeloSportsBar.com, and it's on their website as well. Go check it out. Tupelo's, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, Tupelo's.com.